What's up, people? You are now tuned in to Wrestle Extra, hosted by Black Wrestling Alliance, your one-stop shop for all things black wrestling. You can also catch myself, Mex, the WrestleManiac, on the show alongside the Professor Gerard Bonner. Enjoy.
Yo, this is Wrestle Extra. I'm your boy, A Dazzle, the Black Wrestling Advocate, always joined by my trios team, the Real House of Black, Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will. Yeah. And of course, the omnipresent, the man of all knowledge, that is the Professor Gerard Bonner. Rings and the sounding and the chants of Rocky Sucks filled the arena during Monday Night Raw yesterday, as Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes had their conversation. But it's not only in the arena yesterday that it was happening. The whole of Twitter since Friday Night SmackDown, the internet, Twitter, just everywhere. Everywhere you look, it's wildfire right now. Of course, going back, Friday, Cody Rhodes came out to confront Roman Reigns, gave him all the spiel, all the talk, everything that he wanted to do, take Eric away from him, finish his story. But he said he had a bit of counsel. He spoke to friends, he spoke to family, he spoke to legends, as well as a legend that Roman knows very well. If you smell, the crowd went wild and The Rock came out. The stare down happened. Cody Rhodes exited the ring, and now the world is upset. It looks like we are going to see The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40, whereas most people were expecting and waiting to see Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns to finish the two-year-long story. It's like a Lord of the Rings trilogy that never ends. Mex, when you heard that music pop and The Rock came out, and of course we've been speaking about this whole thing for ages, how's it going to work out, what's going to happen, how are they going to do this? The reports have been it's going to happen, it's not going to happen. What are your thoughts on this whole episode right now,
bruh? When this was playing out, as I watched it on Saturday morning, when he said, "I'm going to come after you, but not at WrestleMania," I thought, okay. The only other thing could be The Rock situation in play here. Little old optimistic me was here thinking, right, we saw the fire in the baby face, pointing at the WrestleMania side of Royal Rumble, pointing at Roman Reigns, "I'm coming after you, Roman," all of that kind of stuff. I thought he wants his title shot now. He doesn't want to wait till then. And when I say now, I meant like Elimination Chamber or something like that. He's not waiting till Mania. And that's how I that's how I watched the show and it ended. And I thought, I wouldn't him to have his day in the sun and WrestleMania, but you know, if they want to facilitate The Rock story as well, Elimination Chamber with all the fire and stuff he's doing, that makes sense. I went online, as you do, to kind of see other people's takes, and I felt like the whole world was shouting at me by the time I read Twitter and stuff, like, "No, you dummy, that Cody has been shafted out of his position for The Rock," and the penny dropped. And I just don't know. Up till today, I'm still in almost like a little state of shock. Like, is this what we're doing? And at the same time, I don't want to jump the gun. That's one thing I don't want to do, because I definitely still do think, especially following all the reaction, I definitely do think they're not stupid. And there is still way that this can happen. We can still get Roman and Rock and Cody and Roman over WrestleMania. It may be unlikely, but it's not impossible, and we still have 2 months to get there. So I was completely dumbfounded. You know, I wanted The Rock the world knows the story now. I got on a plane to LA last year to see The Rock Roman, and it never happened. Like, I'm going to Philadelphia, but I didn't count on it happening now, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And as much as, you know, the childhood me wants to see The Rock in action at least once before he calls it a day, and Roman is my favorite superstar as of the last, God knows, 5, 7, 8 years in WWE. Not at the expense of Cody. And that, I think, is the general conception, I think. And I can't even believe I'm saying that. But I feel like everyone wants to see Roman and Rock. It is the biggest match you could do. It is box office. It is everything they're saying it is. But not at the expense of Cody and how they've built this story so far. Like, we're literally on the cusp of it, and you've done this. And this, I think I said this like maybe a couple of weeks back. This story was never about WrestleMania. He just had to win that title. But then you made him win the Royal Rumble. So you've made it about WrestleMania now. And yeah, I just don't want to see him get shafted like that. Although this is the big match, but I don't think it's over. I think there is still something left in this.
It's interesting that, you know, Cody has said not at WrestleMania. That kind of almost would make you think that there's no chance of it happening at WrestleMania. He's already said it, not at WrestleMania. But there has been no announcement of The Rock versus Roman match actually happening. It's not been made official. The Rock and Roman didn't even say a word to each other in the ring.
A word.
But the world has reacted as though someone has come out to the ring and said, right, Cody winning at the Royal Rumble was pointless. He's not getting a WrestleMania match, but we're going to throw The Rock in. Our new board member is exacting his power, and we're getting The Rock versus Roman Reigns. Now, Gerard, I know you thought about this. How do we solve this problem? How do we move forward and get both things? How do we make sure that everybody's happy in this whole scenario? Is it possible?
Well, first, let me say this. I don't think it's possible that everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's possible. Here's why. Last year, everybody wasn't happy for multiple reasons. They weren't happy because they didn't get Rock versus Roman. Mm-hmm. They weren't happy because Roman beat Cody. Mm-hmm. People were all over the place. So I don't think there's a way to make everybody happy here. But I don't know that making everybody happy here should be the goal. I don't believe that should be the goal.
Right.
I think it's amazing to me how fast people come to assumptions without certain things ever being said. Again, Roman and Rock did not breathe a word Friday night. Didn't say a word. Cody didn't say what it meant for him not to go after Roman at WrestleMania. Could it be at some other time? Then we didn't get any answers really last night in terms of where Cody and Seth are going to go. Because here's the thing. I think this is where fans have messed up. What you've done is you've ultimately shown that WWE knows exactly what they're doing because you reacted. And you reacted so strong that it was trending for 3 consecutive days.
Straight.
Reacted so strong that TMZ covered the story. When does TMZ cover a storyline change?
Right.
So it's clear that whatever they're doing is working. And then let's not forget, there's this mysterious press conference that just popped up, and it's popping up on Thursday in Vegas. Now, people haven't even put 2 and 2 together on this.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it happening in Vegas when WrestleMania is in Philly?
Philly.
That's because the Super Bowl is this week in Vegas. So everybody's going to Vegas for something. With that said, I've also heard that this press conference is not going to welcome any questions, which I also think. How do you have a press conference with no questions?
No questions.
That's interesting.
Press conference. Yeah.
Very interesting. I think we have to pay attention to what can happen in the next 60 days. I think there obviously are ways for people to get Cody and Rock fighting Roman somehow at WrestleMania. But here's the bigger thing, and this is why I say we're not going to make everybody happy. Because this other thing that's looming out here are these rumors that have been going on that, you know, Roman is somehow supposed to beat Hulk Hogan's record? If he does that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that that means he has to hold the title until at least September, which means if Cody does get in this ring and does get the WrestleMania match, you're going to be even more mad when he loses. This also tells me that people have not, wrestling history doesn't mean anything to anybody anymore. Like, people just, you know, so, and here's why I say this. If you're such a big fan of Cody Rhodes, you're such a big fan of his father, Dusty, do you remember Dusty's career at all? Most people only remember the polka dots, or they only remember that he started NXT. But before there were polka dots in NXT, there was a certain Dusty Rhodes who was the American Dream, who chased Ric Flair for the bulk of his career, chased the world title for the bulk of his career, and might have only gotten one title win over Ric Flair and held that title maybe 2 months. So there's the possibility that Cody chases Roman and never gets the world title. Or he could get the world title and get cashed in the same day by Damian Priest.
Oh,
okay. You think you think you're mad now? You think you're mad now? So I'm just saying that what we should do, but it is amazing to me that people have jumped to so many conclusions before anything has ever been said. That is what's so disappointing to me. Is people aren't even allowing. We're in the midst of one of the greatest times in the history of pro wrestling across all desks. We should let things play out. This is the only sport I've ever seen where people get so mad about moments like this, you know? And let's also remember, we're probably not having this conversation if Drew McIntyre doesn't injure CM Punk.
True.
If CM Punk doesn't get injured, we really don't have a reason, because the other thing here is Seth doesn't have an opponent. It seemed as though it was CM Punk versus Seth, Cody versus Roman. You take Punk out of the equation and you have an injured Seth who they're really hoping will make WrestleMania. You got to figure some things out. So while Cody and this, and I'll shut up after this, while Cody versus Roman is what the wrestling fans want to see. Remember, WrestleMania is the Super Bowl. Cody versus Roman isn't bringing in the mainstream fan because they don't know Roman Reigns. They don't. They do not. They confuse Roman Reigns with Jason Momoa. They don't know Roman Reigns. Okay.
Yeah. Of course.
They don't know Cody Rhodes except as Dusty's son. They know The Rock. So The Rock being involved in the main event of WrestleMania, the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania, that makes a lot more sense in the long run. And then you've got all the story that's been built. I just think people have gotten their hopes up for something that maybe they shouldn't have gotten their hopes up for. Maybe. And then we didn't ask the other question. What does it mean for Cody to take everything from Roman? Does Cody take everything from Roman by way of The Rock?
Interesting. Oh, interesting. You know, going back to this whole thing of putting an epic match together. It's WrestleMania. It's not for the diehard fans. It really isn't. It's for the casuals. You know what I mean? You said Roman looks like Jason Momoa. This is like, you know, this is basically to the casual fan. This is Aquaman versus Maui from Moana.
Pretty much.
Basically. You know what I mean? But and this is the other thing. And it's a shame that we have to do this quite often, or think this quite often with wrestling fans in general. They forget what the business of wrestling is. They forget that it's an actual business. They forget, you know, the reason why they do what they do and all the rest of it is to make money, get bums on seats, have the world eyes watching and all the rest of it. In every way possible, The Rock versus Roman is a bigger match than Cody versus Roman in every way possible. Simple as that. My only thing with this whole with this whole scenario, two things, is it's disappointing that Cody actually said it's not going to be at WrestleMania. If he didn't say those words, my first thought is, right, we're going to get one of them on night one, the other one on night two. That's the easy fix. And we've said this months ago. That's the easy fix. I think for me, the other thing is that's confusing now is if we're so sold on this, the notion of it's going to be Rock versus Roman, and then that only leaves Cody to choose Seth, what's happening at Elimination Chamber?
Well, that we've got a lot of questions to be answered.
So surely for me, there's a way where it's still going to be Cody versus Roman, and then someone has to win Elimination Chamber to face Seth Rollins, because there's only two people after Roman and no one's actually after Seth.
Well,
so any Elimination Chamber match isn't going to be to face Roman Reigns. It's going to be to face Seth.
Well, you could end up with a scenario where you have a triple threat against Seth.
Yeah, true.
You could end up with that scenario.
True. I mean, it's not like we've never seen a Royal Rumble winner end up in a triple threat match at Mania and not a one-on-one. So that's still possible.
WrestleMania
as well.
30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all possible.
And 30, you know, WrestleMania 30, WrestleMania 35 are both great templates for what happens when the fans scream loud enough for something that they really, really desperately want. They find a way to work it in. Daniel Bryan wasn't penciled in. He didn't win the Rumble, but he won Mania. You know, Kofi Kingston did not win the Rumble, but Kofi Mania happened, right? Mm-hmm. Strangely enough, 5 years apart, here we are, another 5 years at WrestleMania 40. Another possibility. Now, here's the only thing I'm going to say to that. Now, I'm just saying what I'm saying. In both of those cases, the fans screamed loud and clear.
Yep.
The fans got their WrestleMania moment with both Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened during those title reigns? Daniel Bryan got injured within a month.
Mm-hmm.
Kofi Kingston held the title for 6 months, but nobody remembers anything that happened other than, man, we had Kofi Mania.
And that he lost it within a few seconds.
And that he lost it in 9 seconds. Yeah.
I can't lie, though. I'm not really expecting Cody to have like some... I don't even think he's going to hold the title for a year, if I'm being completely honest. I don't expect it. Like,
no.
It's all right now. Cody is all in the chase and beating Roman. Mm-hmm. And like you said, history said, Gerard, that this might not happen, or this could be just this could be the story that he is just chasing, finishing the story.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like the WrestleMania line of, yeah, it's not going to happen at WrestleMania, like, is probably the stupid line in all of this, because they can find a way out of it. I think they can, you know, wriggle their way out of that. But like, you've given yourself work because of that one line.
Everything else,
you said Rock and Roman faced each other up, but nothing was said. Nothing, like absolutely anything. People have started interpreting that maybe Cody has got the Rock as a special enforcer, special guest referee, all of these other, you know, possibilities we could call them. Yes, he classed him. He kind of said no to WrestleMania, which is like, even then now, what are you going to do? And obviously you've started talking about the Seth situation. But I just think you can do it and make it special. And it makes sense. Like the likes of, I was fantasy booking over the weekend that the likes of CM Punk, he should have been on Raw. He should have pulled Cody by his ear. He said, listen, my guy, The Rock done this same thing to me. Don't let
him. Yeah.
And well, that can still happen.
It can still happen.
The Jey Usos, all of these people that we've seen as on-screen relationships with Cody, they need to slap this guy about and be like, yo, like, what's going on? DDP, that, you know, he was here celebrating with at the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
Take your chance. What are you doing? Wake up. Like, stop being this pushover. Someone put something on the timeline about, I think it was back in AEW. If Arn Anderson, when he was kind of coaching...
Oh, yeah, the Glock.
Yeah, yeah. That was from that promo. He said, like, you're the kind of guy that if someone asks you to steal your car, you're going to get up and get out the car and give them the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically what we're seeing here. Like, you know, the surrender kind of thing. And I don't mind if they're taking us on this journey if to kind of show like this is he who he is, but now no, he needs to stand up and claim what's his. And same way, I think they can do something really special and give us two nights of Roman in two main events. After all, Nick Aldis as well. Nick Aldis does not like Roman. He does not like the bloodline. Book him in this situation. For me personally, I do not give a toss about Hogan's record. I don't care. Like, let's just do what I believe is right at this time. This is how you can mark WrestleMania 40 as a big WrestleMania. Put this guy, Roman Reigns, put his back against the wall completely. And maybe even in the Sunday night main event where the bloodline tried to get in, you see The Rock return and, you know, curtail the bloodline so that it's just Cody and Roman. That's what I feel. And like I said, I didn't jump to conclusions, and I'm happy because I feel that some people do have egg on their face right now. Like, especially, I'll just mention quickly, all the threats to Ava and all of that stuff.
Ridiculous.
You fighting his daughter. What does she know in all of this?
I'm risking a lot by saying what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. This kind of behavior did not happen last year when Sami Zayn was red hot and people were wondering, should it be Sami? Should it be Cody at WrestleMania? Sami gets the shot at the Elimination Chamber, loses the title, but nobody's sending death threats to anybody. I think it is a special class of human being who does that in sports. I've seen it happen in other sports, and it's really ridiculous. Like, sending death threats to people because you don't like the outcome of a thing says far more about you than the organization or the people that you're mad at. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous. It's asinine, and there's a certain type of people that do that, and I think it's just ridiculous. Don't pull that kind of stuff at any point in time. It's just ridiculous.
It's this whole thing, and I hate it with a passion on all levels of social media. This whole thing of people feeling they can say absolutely anything they want to say, absolutely no repercussions whatsoever. And at the same time, you're saying stuff that makes no sense.
No.
Who are you going to find? How are you going to find them and do whatever you got to? What?
And you think you're actually going to get to them? Like, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And so I say, wrestling fans out there, be passionate, love what you love, but don't get stupid. That's just stupid.
TKO are going to turn around and say, oh, Ava's been getting death threats. Okay, let's just give them what they want.
Right.
Sorry. Come on, man. It's
really, really crazy.
But going back to the matter in hand as well, like, TKO, Triple H, the WWE, they know exactly what they're doing. As you said at the top of the show, Gerard, you know, they know exactly what they're doing. You know, wrestling's all about reaction. Mm-hmm. It's all about reaction. It doesn't matter what that reaction is. It's all about reaction. It is the epitome of, you know, any news is good news.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Any attention is great attention because at the same time, when people want to turn around and say, oh, I don't want this match, they're still going to watch to see how it plays out.
Absolutely. You're going to watch WrestleMania. Let's just call it what it is. People are talking about, I'm selling my tickets. You're a dummy.
No, you're not.
WWE already has your money.
Okay? Well, yeah, that's true.
Whether you sell the tickets or
whether
not,
you're there or not,
WWE has their money. All right. Yeah. So you're not hurting them. That's the ridiculous part. And then you're still interested. So you're going to be checking to figure out, okay, what happened? Did it happen? Did it not? Stop playing these little kiddie games.
Right.
Stop doing that.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense.
I guess these same people are, you know, pleasing the WWE's, audience and stuff. And obviously their target audience is kids. So if these people act like kids.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, here's what's funny to me. In times past, WWE would have acted like this stuff wasn't going on. They would have pumped in crowd noise to overdo all it. They didn't. They let everything fly last night.
They acknowledged it.
They're like, okay, yeah, we know what's happening. Yeah, it's a great time to be here. And guess what? You're all going to tune in on Thursday to this press conference to see what happens. And you're all going to turn in on Friday. Like, it's just going to happen. So, like, come on.
I would not be surprised. I'm expecting almost like record numbers, if not very high, consistent numbers for every single show up until WrestleMania.
Absolutely. Because of this is the road. And I'll say this. This is the road to WrestleMania. If it's not filled with twists and turns, we've got no reason to watch for 60 days.
Of course.
So I thought it was odd that last Friday, you're going to have both the Royal Rumble winners declare who they're fighting for already. That's too soon. It's too soon. So there had to be some twists and turns. We're not interested if we get all the people we like right out the top. How are you going to keep that interesting for six or for 60 days?
Yeah.
This is far more interesting.
I mean, it's not to say that the WWE haven't made, you know, incorrect decisions, whether that be logical, whether that be storyline, whether it's on a personal level, you know what I mean? But again, I go back to, and I've said this so many times, even when I felt as though they've done something that I didn't really like or didn't think makes sense, they still know what they're doing. The company has been around for however many years. They haven't been sold like the WCW was, like ECW was, and all the rest of it. They're still here, and they're still here for a reason. There was, you know, they've just sold rights to Netflix for, you know, however billion.
Five billion. See, these are problems past most of our pay grades, okay?
Right.
I mean, we're talking billionaire stuff. This is
right.
Most of us don't we don't understand millionaire stuff yet.
Right. I'm not even making 100,000 a year. Like,
this is what I'm saying.
Why am I thinking about this for?
Stop playing.
Come on. Let the big boys deal with this, and we just sit and watch and be entertained and talk about it every Tuesday and do what we do. You know what I mean? It's madness. It's absolute madness. But again, going back to that whole Ava thing, like that stuff is it's embarrassing to be a wrestling fan when those are the kind of stories and stuff that you have to deal with, hear about, be associated with, whether you're in it or not. Like it's one of those things. Yeah. It's one of those things. The other, moving on a little bit, the other big story that we had when it comes to families, brothers, and not knowing what's going on and how it's going to play out and all the rest of it. But we got an answer at Vengeance Day on Sunday evening, NXT Vengeance Day. We saw Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes, firstly in the opening bout, in the final of the Dusty Cup, unfortunately losing to the War Dogs. They love that name. The War Dogs, Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker.
Wolf Dogs.
The Wolf Dogs, sorry.
Yes.
The Wolf Dogs. What did I say?
The War Dogs. You're thinking War Dogs.
All right, fair enough. Maybe. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Wolf Dogs, even still. Weird name. after Carmelo Hayes jumped in front of Trick Williams and took the spear from Bron Breakker, we all thought, maybe it's not so bad. You know what? And I was very much on the side of the suggestion that Mex was suggested last week, whereas a possibility it has been Ilya all along. But then Trick Williams goes into his championship match against Ilya Dragunov, unfortunately loses. But of course, with Carmelo kind of getting involved, trying to help out and inadvertently, you know, taking out his left knee and all that kind of stuff, Trick Williams loses. Carmelo Hayes snaps. Gerard, was you expecting this at all? In the way that it happened, what were your thoughts when you saw Carmelo Hayes just demolishing Trick Williams with that chair?
I believe I said last week this was going to happen. That the parting shot would be him completely taking Trick Williams out. Now, the question was how we were going to get there. I thought it was going to be a bit different where they actually showed who took him out. We revealed it's Carmelo, and then it happened. There's been a bit of talk that the way that it happened was a little weird, considering, you know, what was the impetus for him to do that? We knew it was coming, but what was the impetus? If if it was that Trick won the title,
that would make even more sense.
That would have made more sense.
Right.
If he had even stressed throughout the night, hey, you could have got me out of that pin, but you didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, like they put the emphasis on the right syllable, dare I say. And because they didn't do that, it just kind of was like, well, we knew it was going to happen, but why? Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't. At least we could point back to, okay, he did this, he didn't do this, Trick was too into himself, blah, 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 blah. But Trick lost, you know? Even if it had been Trick saying to Melo, like, dude, if you hadn't have been out here, I would have won. Mm-hmm. And then Melo snaps, right? Mm-hmm. There just wasn't that thing that served as the catalyst.
Yeah,
other than this weird look in Carmelo Hayes' eyes. With that said, we knew this was happening. We also always liked angry, arrogant, egotistical Melo much more than this nice, calm, I'm just happy to be here. I'm a great athlete. He lost his swagger. What this does is it leads us to where we've been saying this is going to pop off all along. Stand and deliver. Mm-hmm. Those two. It's gonna be an emotional ride there, I'm sure, because I guess because this is the other thing, you know, we talk about what wasn't said between Rock and Roman. Well, he beats up Trick, but nobody still admitted to who actually attacked Trick.
That's the other thing that's out there.
So I'm just like, let's talk about finish the story. Let's finish that story.
Yeah, okay? Right.
Let's make some sense out of that, because we've been on that ride for a really long time. And I'd like to see it. Again, I expected it to go that way. How we got there is just the thing that I went.
Max, what are your thoughts on that same scenario itself?
I agree. Thank you, Gerard. You've added a lot of context to what I was thinking, because I watched the turn happen and I was like, I'm underwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Especially because I guess with the relationship between the two, you can't help but compare it to the legendary Ciampa and Gargano.
Sure.
And since then, they've done obviously similar kind of relationship breakups and turns, but they've never lived up to that surprise. Like we all now know when the sticker goes on NXT, you still have to watch.
Right,
like, it's not finished yet. Like, so I think because that Ciampa and Gargano one was like the first time it happened, and the brutality of what Ciampa done to him on that stage, it's like, yeah, nothing can really come close. And especially like you're saying, and that's the part in my head is like, why don't I like this? Why am I I will say it straight up, I don't like this. I don't like how the term was done. I am very happy we are now gonna get a heel Melo, and I'll talk about Trick in a second, but I don't like this, because that's exactly it. You've hit the nail on the head, and that's why I don't like it. It's just the why in this moment did you turn on him? What was the motivation in that individual moment? We didn't get it, and it's just like, yeah, you've turned for the sake of turning, kind of, one. Two, we still don't know whether it was actually you that done the initial attack. One thing I can honestly say I did notice, and as I was watching the program, so as Trick and Carmelo came out the locker room as they do the backstage stuff to go into the ring. Carmelo's jacket, that big black, like,
yes,
I and you know why I it was stuck in my head, because I hate that jacket. I hate when he wears it. It's like an oversized, big, like, baseball jacket, but I don't know, like a motorcycle jacket.
Yeah.
And I remember the day they found Trick lying down, he was wearing that jacket. So I went back the day Trick got rushed. He was wearing that jacket. So I went back. I was like watching the match, and I was looking back on NXT. I was like, was this the same jacket he was wearing? Not only was he wearing that jacket, but in that segment, when obviously he had been attacked by a chair, the chair was on like one of those road cases. As the referees came around asking blah, 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 Melo knocked the chair off the road case, and then you can't see it in shot anymore. So he's hidden the chair, but then obviously he used the chair against Trick as well. So yeah, I had to watch that back, and I thought then when I'm watching the match, I'm thinking He's wearing the exact same jacket. Okay, it's Melo. They're gonna probably do this here.
Okay.
I wanted to check back and see if he's actually worn that jacket in the episodes in between, but I said that and nobody got
that's a lot.
Yeah.
But I remember the jacket because I don't like that jacket when he wears it. But yeah, so there's stuff there. I mean, the turn Melo's gonna be fun. He's gonna get a load of booze tonight, so it's gonna be fun to see what he's got to say. On the other hand, Trick. I was never convinced he could beat Dragunov until that match.
Yes.
Just on that match, whenever they run this back, if they choose to run it back, I can totally buy into Trick beating Dragunov. Because he took Dragunov all the way. I could possibly even argue, and maybe this is down to Dragunov selling or whatever, he looked more convincing in taking Dragunov all the way than I would say Carmelo ever did.
Agreed. I agree.
So I buy into Trick Williams one day coming, you know, beating Dragunov if he gets another opportunity.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll third what Gerard has said as well with this whole why exactly? Why did it happen in that moment? Why did it, you know, what would the detail? The details were missing. The details were missing when usually it's very obvious. The details were missing, but sometimes I was thinking to myself, like, is there still a way to kind of make sense of it? Because my thing could possibly be, like, even with Carmelo jumping in front of Trick during the tag team match, he's done that on purpose to sabotage Trick, to make sure that Trick doesn't leave with anything. You know what I mean? Almost like he's taken the fall on purpose. Like, he probably could have kicked out. Yes, it's Bron Breakker's spear, but he probably could have kicked out. He decided not to kick out. You know what I mean? And make it look like I don't know, something like that. And then everything else. But this play of emotions and you know, it being to and from and not knowing whether Trick's on, I mean, Melo's on Trick's side or not, or trying to play him, hasn't quite planned out exactly how we thought it was going to be. It felt like this epic mystery and whatnot. It got stale for a little bit, then kind of built up again, especially in the last couple of weeks. But then, yeah, this the way it's gone down, it's kind of like not as epic as I thought it was going to be. But the perfect thing coming from this is you've still got Trick as the hottest guy in NXT. He doesn't have to have the title, of course. And now we've got heel Melo. Thank the Lord you answered prayer.
Yes.
Because as one of you said, like, face Melo is just doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
Just doesn't work. The other thing, so it's not only Mix that can do the good hard research better than me, but you know, he does it well. The one thing that I noticed, I don't know if anyone's seen it, but I think there was something that happened. I was either at the Royal Rumble or maybe on an episode of SmackDown. It's been on Instagram. MVP has been watching Melo so hard.
Mm-hmm.
So hard.
Wait. Like where? On socials or?
Yeah, on socials. On socials.
Sorry. So is he posting himself watching Melo matches or something?
No. When I say watching, I mean, he's like, just keeping his eye on what's going on.
Oh, okay, okay.
Always mentioning him, stuff like that. They've taken, you know, he posted pictures with him and stuff after the Rumble. And there was something I did that was very interesting after Sunday. It must have been Monday that he did this. He posted pictures of Melo when he attacked Trick and likened it to him when MVP attacked Matt Hardy. So I've made a comment on that post, and I was like, you can see MVP open up his wing for Melo to slide right in. Because my other thinking is, okay, we've seen Melo on SmackDown, for the last couple of weeks and stuff, and I thought, how do we? Obviously, he's been fighting against heels in Fury and Waller. How do we then turn this man heel and then make it still make sense on SmackDown?
Mm-hmm.
Easy solution. He's turned heel and he comes back with MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm here for it. with all the stuff that we had with the Hurt Business and whatever else, and we was always saying, you know, let's have this Hurt Business number two, and Melo's got to be part of it. My whole thing was just for Melo to be with MVP.
Mm.
Everyone else didn't necessarily matter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for Melo to be with MVP. Now, for me, this is how you do it, and it carries on to SmackDown and makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine might be a while. Go for it.
Imagine Melo has Omos as his heater.
This is what I thought about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is what I mean. It's that. It's, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you've got MVP, you've got Melo, who's the star. You know, you've got Omos, who is the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Like, that's how. Yeah. And I remember I was asking, I think it was last week, if not the week before, I was asking, like, how do we make Melo seem like somebody? Because for me, when he's been on SmackDown, yes, his decent performances, but I've been not underwhelmed, but like, this doesn't feel like the guy who was the main man on NXT for the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
How do we change that? This is the answer right here.
Yeah.
It's a very simple answer. It's a very simple way to do it. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen, you know, MVP and Omos. Obviously, we saw them at the Royal Rumble, but before that, hadn't seen them in months. This is a nice way for them to come back in as well.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think it can answer a lot of questions.
It was reported that after the Rumble that they had plans for Omos, that they were trying to fix plans for him to bring him back. But yeah, this is a good way to just, like you said, make him feel special. And to be honest, we've been saying this, like, if they bring him up, obviously we said the Bobby Lashley and whatever faction that thing was or is, you know, definitely that could be somewhere for him. But yeah, I don't want him to go anywhere near them at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, this is the safest way to kind of bring him up. And they've been doing a good job anyway about this, you know, transition from NXT to main roster recently anyway. But yeah, this would be a way to make him feel like a big deal, 100%.
Yeah. And I think it's more so with this heel turn now, just making it make sense now for when he does come on SmackDown, it's not, again, a different guy that we see on Tuesday to what we see on a Friday. You know what I mean? It's an easy way to do it. Gerard, what are your thoughts in terms of how this whole thing plays out? Obviously, there's, you know, like, what, 2 months now until Stand and Deliver?
Mm-hmm.
How do we keep this thing going till then if we get in the match at Stand and Deliver?
It can happen one of two ways. It can happen where they just can't contain themselves and they have this match at the next NXT event, which I think is Spring Break or Heat Wave, or I don't know what they call it.
Mm-hmm. Roadblock. They got Roadblock.
Roadblock. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So it'll be Roadblock in March, and it ends up in like a no contest to the point where they have to have like this extreme match at Stand and Deliver, which could be a lot of things, right? It could be a no disqualification match. You know, it could be a barbershop rules match. And I say that because of all the time they spend in the barbershop and things like that. And then the whole, you know, rockers barbershop thing. Like, I think there's a way, but I think the Stand and Deliver match has to be very definitive. It has to be violent. It has to be that kind of, you know, kind of like the things we would see with Ciampa and Gargano, where they would just have these, you know, no rules matches, and they pulled up the stuff from the ring and they just did unsanctioned matches, like something like that. Because I think we all can agree Stand and Deliver is going to be the send off for Carmelo Hayes
to
go into SmackDown land. I mean, think about it. They've already offered a contract, Raw and SmackDown, to Bron Breakker. You know what I mean? So,
star, man.
No, yeah, sorry, man.
Like, I know this show isn't for him, but
right,
this
stuff he's been doing with
Corbin,
with Corbin has just been brilliant. You know, but with that said, I think it's also interesting that they haven't formally offered a contract
that was
to
something I was gonna
Melo
mention.
Yet.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So I feel like they're letting this thing finally play out and wrap up. And then we'll see the contract for Melo. And then so it's going to be the send off for Melo, but it's going to be an even bigger rocket ship for Trick. You know,
for sure.
Yeah.
I think for me, Trick, I'm sure you both would agree, Trick has to win that match.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Trick has to win that match. And yeah, it definitely has to be a send off for Carmelo. And that's what I was going to say as well, Gerard, you know, that. It's interesting how we've seen Carmelo on SmackDown for the last month or so, but not once has been offered a contract, whereas Jade has already been talking to both both general managers. Obviously, we've seen Bron Breakker and a couple others in this time. Obviously, Andrade's signed to Raw now, and
Tiffany Stratton signed.
You saw Tiffany Stratton signed. Yeah. Naomi signed as well. Yep. Like, but no Carmelo. So yeah, he's definitely still going to be. NXT still is home. So we need to finish this story with Trick and see where it goes from there. It should be. I'm hoping it stays interesting. I'm just wondering how we keep this going for 60 days.
Well, I think there's a lot of ways to do that. I mean, they've still got to reveal who did this. They've got to reveal the why, and then from there come the pot shots. I mean, because you know. With people who've had a long-standing relationship, there's all kinds of things they covered for each other. There's things that, I mean, like, I think they've got, the promos are going to be fire. I think they're really going to let it all hang out. And it's going to get ugly. It's going to get
ugly. And the thing is as well, you know, you've got an injured Trick Williams. So he doesn't have to be there next week or tonight or whatever it is. He can stay away for a little bit maybe and then pop up while, you know, Carmelo's probably chasing a chance at the title. Trick comes along and messes it up and we go from there. So it's doable, of course. It's doable. Speaking of championships, we move over to AEW. And we see that the rankings are back. And the two men are at the top with 4 wins, 0 losses since the start of the year. Is Swerve Strickland and Hangman Adam Page. Of course, we know that they have beef.
Can I just interrupt you?
Jump.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if this is confirmed as well. But they are including in these rankings. They're back to their nonsense again. Yep, they're including dark matches.
How?
Exactly. They're including dark because... Because
they're doing live matches, isn't
it? They're doing like dark matches because the likes of Dark Order... who none of us have seen on TV, I'm sure we could all agree, in however long, they're on the rankings with points. And they're only opening shows before the broadcast begins and stuff like that. So, again, the rankings are in a place of controversy and disrepute. But go on, of course. Swerve.
That's a great thing to say before we go. Swerve number one!
But here's the joke, actually, before we even move on to like actually what's going to happen with these two guys, let's talk about what you just mentioned, because my confusion is as well, as we suggested last week, if not the week before, when it comes to the rankings coming back, is trying to differentiate the singles championships, the men's singles championships. How do we do that? And it's not happening at all. You see the rankings and you see every single men's championship above it.
Which is interesting because there's a tag team rankings and there's a trios ranking.
And there's a trios. Yeah. And I'm not getting it. And I think at the moment as well, you've got Swerve and Hangman at the top two. Joint, but top two. And I believe Adam Copeland is third. I heard Adam Copeland is third.
Yes, he's third.
Copeland, then Moxley,
And then Roderick Strong is number five.
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's very interesting you say Moxley because I didn't even know that either. Very interesting to say Moxley as well, because you've got Adam Copeland who will go for the TNT. But if Moxley had a chance at anything, he would go for the world.
Or the international.
Why wouldn't Copeland go for Samoa Joe? I mean, I know he's got his little feud. It makes sense in that respect. It does make sense. But surely he would have an opportunity to climb higher.
It's like as soon as you get into the top five, maybe you can just pick what you want.
Because
Roderick Strong is fifth. Yeah. He's going for international. So that would almost signify that TNT is higher than international, maybe.
Yep.
And Moxley is just in there with no direction as to what he wants. So.
And then Bryan Danielson, I don't know where he's ranked, but obviously it looks like it's, you know, the next big challenge for Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
Is Danielson.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. And Danielson's not even on this top five.
Anyway, back to number one, Swerve.
Back to Swerve.
The one thing that is making some sense when it comes to these rankings is Swerve and Hangman holding the top two positions, both on the same four wins, zero losses. And they have a match on Wednesday to determine who actually faces Samoa Joe at Revolution. Mex, I'm sure I know what your answer is going to be. I'm going to answer the, ask the question anyway. Who wins? Who faces Samoa Joe?
I don't think it's as cut and dry like that, you know.
Okay.
I mean, if there was it gonna be someone, I would assume Swerve, but I really think, you know, some way, somehow, this is gonna end up a triple threat. I've seen, you know, they like to pull out their 60-minute time limit. Mm-hmm. I think if you see Swerve and Hangman open the show, we are getting a 60-minute time limit. Mm-hmm. And then they both go to Revolution, because at the same time, where I think Swerve is obviously all the energy, the power's behind him, and you know, Hangman contributed to that because he's been a great opponent. Beating Hangman three times in singles competition is probably a bit hard to swallow as well. So I think if we see them open the show, we are more than likely getting a, whether it's 20-minute, 30-minute, 60-minute time limit draw.
Or some type of no contest.
And then they both go on to Revolution. I think what's maybe more interesting is on Collision was the promo that Swerve cut, particularly at the end, telling Nana no involvement.
Right.
Like, I think that's as clear as, guys, I'm a babyface now. Like, as we've got. Like, he it was a great promo, putting over the Black History and champions, shouting out Athena, shouting out Kofi Kingston, and all these people. Like, I thought it was a great promo. The crowd really ate it up. And then, but yeah, to kind of do all of that rah-rah chanting and then punctuate it with don't get involved at the end.
Right,
babyface Swerve. All right. Against maybe more of a heelish Samoa Joe as we get into Revolution.
For sure.
But yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Interesting. Gerard, what are your thoughts?
They're very similar. I think that it could end up as a triple threat. Though, honestly, if there's anybody who deserves a one-on-one match for the world title, it's Swerve. He should totally get that match. The challenge, though, and this is what's going to be interesting, is... does Samoa Joe lose the title at Revolution? You know, he would in essence then be the shortest reigning AEW world champion in history. And so
CM Punk, thank you.
I forgot. It's terrible. So it would be interesting to see, considering this version of Samoa Joe, I think, is the best version we've seen. He's really stepped up in being, hey, I'm the champ. You know, I'm going to brutalize everybody. So this is, it's weird. I feel like Samoa Joe needs to be champion longer before Swerve takes the title from him, though Swerve should be champion now. So you know what I mean?
So that
could lend itself to Hangman getting this shot. And then maybe Swerve gets the shot at Double or Nothing. I don't know. I do know this, though. This all could be problematic as we're getting closer and closer to All in London. You know, does Swerve end up leaving there as champion, or does this end up being a 3 or 4 month reign? I don't know. But I do think it's time for him to be champ. But I'm just actually starting to like this Samoa Joe title run.
And here's the thing, and I think for me that's the conundrum here. As you said, you know, you want Samoa Joe to hold it for a little longer, but you want Swerve to be champion now. It's better now than never, and taking a little bit longer and expecting, you know, he's going to lose it to Ospreay, or whoever's champion is going to lose to Ospreay in London. If that doesn't happen, it's crazy.
Let's see if that trends for 3 days.
Yeah, that's true. We want Ospreay.
Right.
So I think for me, I think one way we could do this is, as Mick said, you know, we end up getting a triple threat at Revolution. Somehow Samoa Joe retains, probably pins Paige.
Hangman.
Yep. And then Swerve can still do the whole thing of, I wasn't pinned, I need my one-on-one, let's do this, boom, then he wins. He's champion. If it only lasts for 3 or 4 months, I wouldn't mind. Just as long as it's good. Just as long as we can do the whole first Black AEW champion and the run is decent, or he has a good few matches and whatever else, he's always going to have good matches at Swerve.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's still a way to do it. It doesn't have to happen right now. And I'm under the whole thing of, you know, Samoa Joe, it would be disappointing for Samoa Joe to lose it very quickly. I think there's still a lot for him to do. And I don't see him being a two-time champion either. So if he lost it, he's not going to necessarily win it again. I don't think they'd do that personally. So it still needs to mean something. This run needs to mean something to him as well in some way. So I think for him to hold it a little longer would make sense. Him having a win in a triple threat between the two of them would be great as well. And then we push the button on Swerve being champion. And then to have Swerve versus Ospreay.
Main event. Main event.
Mm-hmm. That right there, yeah, that's dream stuff. That's dream stuff, man. I can see them doing stuff that will make us go back to videos in the same way we still go back to videos of Ospreay Ricochet. Mm-hmm. Just doing some crazy stuff. And that would just be epic. So I think for me, that's the way you do it, that's the way you go about it. But this is the world of wrestling. Anything can happen. The streams of possibilities are so open. And again, that's the beauty of what we love as well. So let's see what happens, man. The babyface turn is interesting, whether that will play in some way. Maybe the Mogul Embassy turn on Swerve at some point, maybe costing him in that respect. In this triple threat, or if he has a match, if it is one-on-one with Samoa Joe, maybe. Who knows? Brian Cage is unpredictable. He's in it for himself. And I'm very surprised. You know, to be honest, I'm actually very surprised that we haven't had anything where it looks like Brian Cage doesn't like being in the position that he's in.
True.
Because he's not the main guy.
I don't think there's anything right now for him to be mad about. I know it's like, this is your boss in Swerve, but it's like, until Swerve undisputedly becomes that guy with the title,
what do
you have to be mad about? You see what I mean? I think, but rightly, like you're saying, once that happens, then the descent can begin to show. And even Brian Cage would be a great first opponent for Swerve, just to get, you know, a first under.
The other big match that is actually happening on Wednesday is Ricky Starks and Big Bill defending their AEW World Tag Team Championships against Sting and Darby Allin. I believe we all know maybe the conclusion to this match, but enlighten me, guys. What are your thoughts? Who's coming away as the champions?
You know, as he accepted this match on Dynamite, was it last week or so? I'm here shouting at the TV. Remember Boys in the Hood? Ricky! leaning out the car with a shotgun. That was me. I was like, Ricky! Ricky, you are losing this title. Sting, Darby Allin, I definitely think they're taking their title. And then, you know, maybe they have a couple of defenses in between. Then we get to Revolution. They drop the title for Sting's, you know, final farewell.
Final match.
Ricky Starks and Big Bill. It was the last opportunity for him at gold, I guess. They wanted to throw at him. I don't know when his contract is up, but it is up this year. I think we've probably all rightly assumed that for a long time. He's probably resigned to the fact he's leaving when his contract is up, heading to WWE. So, I guess this is the last big outing for him. Probably you still see him on TV doing some other stuff. But, yeah, I think this is the end of their title run. But I think a little too late for Ricky. I think he's done some good work for Big Bill. I just have growing respect for that guy and just where he was and now he's gonna come back.
Massive.
A little too late for Ricky, I think. And I'll say the title run as well didn't really amount to much just because the tag division has been in a bit of disarray. So he never really got to even make this tag team run feel like something, but it is what it is.
I feel as though they've exceeded expectations. in a way as well. Obviously, no one expected them to be champions at all, but at the same time, they've still managed to hold it for as long as they have. The opponents haven't been the greatest or whatever else, you can argue, of course, but they've held it for longer than expected. We probably expect them to lose it, you know, a few times, but they're still champions. I think they've done the best that they can with it. That's the great thing to take away from it. They've done the best they can with it, how it's been booked, probably underbooked, whatever it is. And as you said, Max, you know, I think for me, it's, you know, I don't know then what happens with Ricky Starks after this, because even while he's holding it, it feels very similar to when Swerve and Keith Lee had the tag team championships. It's like, as soon as they lose, they're going to disappear. And it kind of happened with Keith Lee. Swerve was kind of, he disappeared too, but he's found his way back. Of course, he's found his way back, but both of them just disappeared. And I think I'm expecting the same thing to happen with Ricky Starks, and it's a shame. But at the same time, you know, as it comes closer to his contract ending, I'm hoping the WWE Universe start the trend. We want Ricky Starks, because that man needs to go to WWE as soon as possible. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. We move away from AEW for a little bit as well. Going back, actually, no. We're staying with AEW. Mex, you mentioned something you wanted to talk about. Obviously, we know and have been told at the start of this year, or just before the end of last year, that Mercedes was going to make some type of announcement. What more do we know about all of this? Do we know a date? Do we know how it's going to happen? Are we just waiting in the wings to see when Mercedes tweets, like, or whatever it is? What are we expecting from this?
Well, we have a big announcement on Dynamite tomorrow night from Tony Khan. The rumors are that, you know, he might be announcing one of their kind of themed shows that may or may not be hosted in Boston, the hometown of Mercedes Moné. He may make some type of reference or pun that is like what they did with CM Punk, almost, to give you the through ball when Darby said best in the world, and we all knew, right, he's coming. At the same time, I think it was reported by Andrew Zarian of Matt Men podcast and Fightful that we won't see Mercedes in AEW till March. So this is maybe going to be Tony, this announcement on Wednesday Dynamite. It's probably going to be Tony just gearing the crowd up for, this is going to happen in a couple weeks' time, this big show, whatever they're going to call it. And yeah, everyone's going to basically, you know, a big wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Mercedes is coming. So.
Gerard, are we still under the impression that this is the best thing for Mercedes to do? Is there still any other options for her, or is this it?
You know, it's interesting. I think people assume AEW is the place for her. I think we're all still trying to determine whether or not AEW, more so than Ring of Honor, is committed to women's wrestling. We have, over the last month or so, seen some pretty solid matches show up on AEW television. Obviously, the addition of Queen Aminata is something special, and, you know, Deonna Purrazzo and those kinds of things. But does that make it the right place for Mercedes? Strangely enough, I think TNA is the right place for Mercedes. Now that Trinity is not there, she can go fight the best women in the world, run a division, and let the schedule be something that is, again, akin to what her new whole thing is right now, being able to do the modeling or whatever else, movies and things like that. I think she has less of a chance to get lost in TNA versus Impact or versus AEW. I want to see AEW put down a longer foundation for something that says we love women's wrestling before she goes there, because you know, that to me, like, as great as Deonna Purrazzo is, I didn't go, oh my God, yes, she signed.
I mean, think about
how crazy this is. Wasn't it last week that it was Deonna versus Taya Valkyrie, a main event caliber match over in TNA for their women's championship?
For a long time.
It's just happening haphazardly
on Dynamite. You know, like that's the thing. And there wasn't even like the reference there that these are two former world champions battling it out, you know. So
very true.
That's why I'm concerned as to whether or not this is a good move. We all know an announcement will get whatever attention, but honestly, I'm not even moved by Tony Khan saying he has a big announcement. How many times have we seen this movie? The last time he had a big announcement, it was, guess what? Tickets are going on sale for All in London, and it's 9 months away. Yay! You know, so I don't, my hopes aren't as high that it'll be a Mercedes Moné announcement. It's just not. If anything, if it is, it'll be saying that we'll have a major signing happen at Revolution. Revolution has been the place where they signed Christian Cage. It was the place they signed Swerve. It could very well be the place where, if it's going to be Mercedes, that they sign her there. But I'm just not convinced that we're going to get the kind of announcement that we'll be talking about in a positive way for 72 hours. If anything, what'll happen is we'll go call him Britney Spears because oops, he did it again.
I would say my stance quickly. My stance on Mercedes hasn't changed. I do want to see her in AEW. I do not want to see her sign any type of multi-year deal. Like, if you're gonna go there per appearance deal, wrestle the top stars, Tony Storm, maybe a returning Britt Baker could be pretty entertaining. Jamie Hayter, some of the Joshi talents that they've got there, and get out, because like you're saying right now, there's not enough evidence that if you sign 3-4-5 year deal, they're gonna look after you for that amount of time. I've said again before, they would have hired Saraya believing this is the woman to make the change here and to plant her flag and to change the women's division. And yeah, at the end of the day, people, I've said the same about Mercedes, but it's not their job to do that. Their job is to wrestle. Their job is to entertain. Their job is not to make the changes to how these women are booked and stuff. So, yeah, I would be a lot more comfortable if it comes out that, fair enough, it's Mercedes, but it's per appearance deal. I'd say brilliant. Then she can still eventually go to the TNAs, WWE afterwards, still do New Japan and stuff like that. But if it's a multi-year deal, it's not my business, but I will honestly question her business acumen. Unless it's a stupid payment, like a stupid amount of money to sign for AEW, then all right, fair enough. But like, yeah, I just don't think it's the right wrestling move to make with the evidence on show.
And for me, I think I'm just done with this whole announcement, major announcement thing. Even if you are going to put it out there, it would be a very bad move for them to say so-and-so is going to be here, or to mention Mercedes by name or whoever it is by name. It'd be so bad to do that. If they're announcing a show that's going to be in Boston, again, pointless kind of getting us ready for an announcement. Just put it out on Twitter, just put it out on Instagram that there's a show in Boston and leave it there. Then just give us the big surprise when whoever comes out, whether it be Mercedes or someone else or whatever it is. In terms of Mercedes signing, yeah, definitely. Let's keep it away from any type of lockdown, you know, year contract or whatever else. She just needs to just make an appearance, challenge someone, have a great match at one of the big shows, maybe do that a couple of times and then see what happens from there. But until then, it's going to be interesting. I'm waiting for Mercedes to kind of just end this whole speculation and just do something, please, love. Because we're trying to get you, you know, we're trying to get you back in the ring, mate. And we need to see you doing your thing. So I'm expecting a lot from her this year. Because last year just didn't go the way that she wanted it to. Not her fault, of course. Injuries happen. But I think someone needs to, you know, it needs to be pulled back for her, you know, to kind of have us on this, back on this whole mountaintop of Mercedes is the best female that there is and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Speaking of amazing females, we're going to touch on this very quickly. We know that Bianca Belair and Montez Ford's reality show, Love and WWE, started streaming on Hulu at the start of this week. Last week Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've all watched it. We've all seen the stuff. And, you know, as we mentioned, we had a little bit of a discussion before the show and all the rest of it. As we've mentioned, we've not necessarily learned anything new about the couple and all the rest of it. But one of the questions I wanted to ask, the whole thing is about, you know, their run up to WrestleMania last year. You know, Montez kind of trying to find his way. And I think for me, you know, the question I wanted to ask is, what happened to Montez Ford since that big breakout moment at last year's Elimination Chamber? Why have we not seen that carry on? What has happened to Montez Ford? Has he stayed stale? Is there an argument to say that he's probably even gone backwards a little bit? And if so, why? Gerard, I'm going to go to you first with this one. What are your thoughts when it comes to Montez Ford and, you know, comparing him where he is this year to last year?
My thoughts are obviously last year, once he had that shot, we didn't know that this was in the works, right? So my thought is they are going to use this show as the springboard for him to have a singles run. You can do that now because with all of the eyes that will be watching this show, Montez Ford becomes a household name. I think it's very interesting that it ends up happening, and I say this carefully, on the back of his wife's popularity. But hey, that's also a good thing. That's not a bad thing. So I think they're going to use this as a springboard. And in my opinion, one of the things that happened on SmackDown that isn't getting talked about enough is that interaction, that unusual interaction between Logan Paul and Bianca Belair, where they were literally almost nose to nose.
Right.
Was just like, hold on, who's going to, I mean, yes, she is the EST, but in the WWE universe, you don't have a man talking down to a woman,
right?
You know, that's not going to happen. And you know, they're not going to sanction a man versus a woman in terms of an intergender match. So to me, it makes me wonder, is this the place where Montez says, hold on, I'm standing up for my wife? It's not a secret anymore. There's a whole show out there that says that this is my wife. I can stand up for her. I'm a stand on business. And now I'm going to take that title from you, you know? And now we have a space where we can now publicly see Bianca cheering for Montez, which is something we don't get to see. It's always been him cheering for her. So I think part of the delay that has happened in this last year is because they ultimately knew, we're going to have this footage, which is going to make telling this story easier, such that we don't have to have a Street Profits breakup to be able to launch you. Because for the longest time, we've been thinking it's going to be a breakup with the Street Profits. And they kept teaming and they kept teaming. And then Dawkins just kept getting better and better and better. And it was like, well, you can't break them up now. There's no weak link. So I think that is what has happened in this last year. And they're going to use this series, depending upon how it's viewed, to be able to be the springboard to launch Montez into that singles career now.
Max, we'll end on this. How important do you think it is for, you know, a show like this to be on, you know, basically available internationally? How important is it to see a couple like Montez and Bianca on our screens?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, ultimately, they are using, I don't say using them to sell the WWE, but, you know, they are vehicles. And even away from this, they've had a big year in terms of publicity, in terms of what they've been doing. They were there, the only wrestlers there when they done the whole TKO stuff as well. So, you know, obviously, we know, I think it was last year, 2 years ago now, maybe, when Bianca signed her deal to her agency. You know, the stars are aligning in terms of creating, you know, mainstream stars with these guys. And, you know, the fact that we've seen this in the past with Total Bellas, Total Divas, Miz and Marisa, that was a thing, right?
Miz and Marisa, so,
So I think even just now, like, we're now exploring the fact that, you know, we can have black families on screen and black couples on screen and black love being shown, and it's all in a positive light. Usually when it's you know, black people in reality TV shows, hair's being dragged out, shoes are flying, curse words are flying, it's that's what we've become used to. But this series was just very much, you know, this is our mission. We are a couple in the WWE. We're trying to both get to the top of our division. Bianca, who is at the top of the division, is trying to think, well, I want to have a child, but, you know, my career is popping right now, sort of thing. And that's a real conflict that people, women have in the working world. And Montez is having to basically deal with, my wife is the star of the show. But, you know, with everyone telling him as well, you've got the minerals, one day it's going to be you. You know, it's the eagerness, the urgency you want to kind of achieve at the same time. And then, you know, him wanting to obviously start a family as well. Like, it was a really good watch, in the sense that we're just seeing real life things, issues or scenarios play out. And just the fact that they were chosen, it just, for me, it just confirms that, like, these are the stars that are going to be well looked after. They recognize that. Obviously, Bianca's had a massive level of achievement so far. Montez, I'm telling you, whenever they choose, or as in they, the family, Bianca and Montez, maybe they have this baby, and God willing, baby's fine and all this kind of stuff, and she's off TV, I think that's maybe when this button gets pushed for Montez. And he goes to the moon. He is literally is not going to stop. And I just think there's just so much there. And we haven't seen it in the past year. And I think it has been very disappointing that it's just been like, you've got this kind of level of talent, which we all know one day is going to be really, you know, a shining star. And he's just, he's had a whole year of doing much of nothing. And Gerard makes a good point. You know, they might have just been saying, you know, hold your horses. We've got this show that's going to do half the work for us in terms of getting you over. I was pretty much thinking, you know, coming into WrestleMania, it would be LA Knight versus Logan Paul for the US title. But I feel like this is, you know, from what we saw on Friday, which was a great interaction, that is one thing that is definitely missing, more male and female interactions in wrestling. You know, if Montez steps in, he could be someone that has something against Logan. Logan is going to get a new opponent next week or this week for his US title. Again, we've got 8 weeks to build towards this match. If they do one of their special ladder multi-man matches at Mania with all of these characters in between, one way to protect Logan, I think if they put a Montez or an LA Knight in there, they would have to be the favorites to walk out. Off the back of the TV show, and then off the back of what LA Knight's been doing. And Logan's going to be around. Logan signed a new contract where he's literally going to be basically full time. So we may see more in this Bianca stuff play out. And yeah, like we're saying, get Montez in, involved in that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's, it, there's, it's easy to look at it and think that that may have been, that may have happened just because obviously, you know, Logan, who's Logan is, and obviously Bianca's on, you know, got a new show and stuff. Montez wasn't involved because we've never really seen Montez and Bianca involved together. Well, I think back in the pandemic era at one point when Bianca first came onto the main roster, didn't last too long. They broke off, did their own things and all the rest of it. So we haven't seen their direct interaction with them in a while. Nothing to say that it can't happen. That's a very good way, a very easy way for that to start as well. There's a lot of things that can happen. I mean, the biggest reason why I asked that question is because while I was watching the shows, and we got to the episode where Montez was actually at the Elimination Chamber, and I saw him again in that attire, and still now it just feels special. You know what I mean? Like, looking at it again, I'm just like, why did that not carry on? So, you know, we'll see what happens. As you said, 8 weeks, WrestleMania. It doesn't even have to be a WrestleMania thing either. It could be later on. Like, it doesn't have to happen immediately. There's so much time and so much things that can be done for you know, to see Montez back in, you know, in a space where we kind of want him to be, whether that be completely as a singles person or just on a, you know, just on a just used a lot more and eyes on him a little bit more from the powers that be in WWE. Anyway, with that said, guys, our time is so far gone. It's unreal. We are here on Wrestle Extra. On the WrestleMania UK YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe on and press that notification bell to see when this guy Mex puts out all of his reactions to WWE, AEW, everything else in between. You can also find Mex on the WrestleMania UK YouTube channel. Like, subscribe, notification bell to see all the videos from the Mandem. Oh my word, you can also see Mex. You can also see Mex on the refurbished Gorilla Position podcast, the official Gorilla Position podcast, the most connected podcast to the WWE in the UK. Mex is one of the new members of the show.
Nice.
They'll be coming back very, very soon. Proud of you, mate. Very nice. So expect to see him there. Check out Gorilla Position. I believe it is WWEGP on Instagram. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. Amazing. The first return episode is tomorrow. But my first episode will be next week, Wednesday.
Nice.
I'm chasing down Gerard. I want all those accolades. I want all those.
Keep going. You lot just making my job harder, me trying to remember everywhere that you lot turn up. That's
great.
You know what I mean? You can also find Mex himself on his own on the WrestleManiac UK Instagram as well. So that's WrestleManiac UK and WrestleManiac.uk on X. You can find this guy, Gerard Bonner, absolutely everywhere. Including his own show, The Faction Show, Southern Honor Wrestling, IEW, Our Shay, which has got their show coming up very soon in the next week or so, is it?
Yeah, 2 weeks,
You can find him there, also on WWT Live, and of course, you can find him on all socials, all things Bonafide. You can find me in the one place, the only place you need to find me, which is Black Wrestling Alliance. Exactly!
Yes.
Hey! You guys got to pay money to have me.
There it is.
You can find me on Black Wrestling Alliance on Instagram, BWA Dazzle on X, and a couple of times on WWT Live when I get the chance, of course. Guys, thank you for joining us. We will see you again very, very soon.